Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program, what we like to call Satsang, is for Sunday, February 5th, 2017. And we're kind of in a little series. I get a ton of questions about love and women wanting love and how to find a spiritual man. And since it's we're zeroing in here on Valentine's Day, I thought it'd be maybe a little interesting to take a look at some of this. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as our TV programs and everything we do on the Aspire website for you, is there because of people's sponsorship, because they cared enough to give and to love and to share. And I hope that you will become a sponsor. Take a look at what we offer. It is round-the-clock inspiration, not the kind of woo-woo spiritual stuff that I see on the internet a great deal. It's much more, well, what shall we say, focused on inner awakening, spiritual awakening, and what it means to spiritually be awakened. And I offer methods and teachings and TV programs and meditations, all these things to be of service to you, to help you understand the way that lives within your heart, within your being. And if you are interested, go take a look at aspire.org. And while you're there, take a look at sponsorship. There's a lot of beautiful gifts you get for serving humankind in this way. And I hope that you will avail yourself of all of it. These questions I get are very, they're very interesting to me. I imagine that for a while in our life, I don't know how long, but for a while we're briefly available for love. But I find that most people are not much available for love, not in the truest sense. So that's what makes these questions so interesting to me, and I'll explain as we go along. The first one comes from Karen. She says she lives in Southern California. Greg, I listen to you a great deal and love your TV programs. Thank you. How do I obtain a spiritual love with a man, maybe such as yourself, who would be interested in sharing a life of joy and ecstasy with me, Karen? Well, Karen, I'm going to take it this is not a proposal, so thank you. Look, I don't think of myself as a quote-unquote spiritual anything or a spiritual man. I don't go there, okay? So I'm going to take myself out of the equation with all of that. We draw to ourselves the people that are in the field of our karma, the field of our energy, the field of our essence. And because we live as an energy, there is no possible way for me to avoid the energy that I put out there and that draws to me like a net that I throw out every day and bring in to my ship, as it were. There's no way for me to avoid that. It isn't how do you obtain, like you say here. You don't obtain people. You attain. You attain first to love. You make that within yourself the single most important thing in your life. Now, this can't be the kind of love that is unrequited love, where you're sitting there going, okay, I'll be loving, I'll be loving, I'll be loving. I'm a loving person, I'm a love. It is not about that at all. It is about being self-sufficient in love. When you and I are so efficient in our process, in our spiritual process of love, of awakening, of spiritual awakening, where we feel that deep and profound sense of a love that is greater than our emotionality, that is always telling us that we have to be more, have more, do more, get more. When we are beyond the emotionality and we are no longer seeking to consider what our emotions want over exactly what we are as love itself, that's when things start to click. And events and circumstances and meetings, rendezvous as I like to call it, start to happen. But it can't happen with a mind that is strategically trying to get a person or a situation to happen in my existence or in my life. It doesn't work that way. How it works is everything is in accordance with the relationship I am having with my own heart, with love. Everything is happening according to that. It is not happening according to my wishes, my wants, my desires. People don't take stock of their own energy. They really don't. They have this energy within them that they built for the majority of their life and the way they have lived their life, and they go on and on and on with this energy, and it turns into all sorts of, I hate to say it, but you'll understand, maybe perversions and excursions in perversions. And I'm not talking about sexual things, but I could include that, but I'm talking about how I perceive love as an emotion, the values I have in love, how I believe love works. All these things taken into account are compensations and side paths for missing the authentic love that lives within. We miss it because we are so busy wanting to fulfill our emotionality and then telling ourselves stories and making up rumors and theories and all sorts of things about what the meaning of our life is as it pertains to love. So what you're saying here, Greg, how do I obtain a spiritual love? You have to work at it from within yourself, and I'll tell you how. You have to begin by piercing through your emotionality. And that means that you no longer take into account the idea that emotions are your feelings. They have many, many, many feels to them. They belong to your body, your genetics, and your DNA. They are not intuitive. They are not loving. They are not kind. They are none of those things, and don't ever think they are. And that's what I mean by piercing through. You have to see them for what they are. They're a survival mechanism. It's how you survive your life. And if you're only going to survive your life, you're going to miss the meaning of your living deep within you. I swear to you, Karen, deep within is the presence of a love that unites you with the universe. It is the ultimate sense of love, the uniting of us as one. And when that starts to occur within you, a reaction starts. Your mind will follow. Your body will follow. Your circumstances will ingratiate themselves to bring to you all the things that are deeply important to your heart. Not your mind, not your body, not your emotions, but your heart. And you're on an adventure. It took me years and years and years to understand this. And finally, when it finally happened, and I started to see the folly of my way, the ridiculousness of the way I was looking at things, it was absurd and so out of the realm of love. Once I was aware of that, everything started to change in me. How things were in the world, it reflected what was going on within me. It was a mirror of me. It was a mirror of the consciousness that was arising in me. And there was, frankly, no longer a me or a you. There was no longer them and me. All of a sudden, all of that dropped away. I could see my own looniness, my craziness. And once I saw that, it was so easy just to lay it aside. There was no need for guilt and shame. There was no need for punishment. There was no need for any of that. I just moved over. And now, well, you don't obtain people. You attain to their heart. You attain to their being. You attain to the love that lives within them. And now you're around people of like heart. You start to see the heart in everyone, in strangers, in people you pass, in the grocery store, wherever you are. You start to realize we are all here as one. And that makes the huge difference in our life and in our lifetime. So don't be looking for a man, Karen. Find the love you seek within yourself. If you find that love you seek within yourself, you won't need a man. You won't need to share whatever. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have a beautiful person come into your life and to share with you. It doesn't mean that at all. You just might. It might be in the karma for you to help a man. In my very strong experience in this world, to have a woman come into your life to help you along the spiritual path, a woman who, we used to call them in the ashram, a juicy woman, a woman who is full of beauty and energy to help the male go into his beauty and his juiciness, is a true honor and a privilege. And you know what? It can happen at any moment, at any time, in anyone's life. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope that helped her. Ah, breath, Greg. Next one comes from Angie in New York City. And I'm interested always in New York City. It's kind of a wild place. Are such things as soulmates really a reality? Do they exist? Is there just one person for me somewhere in this universe? Angie. Angie, I don't know. I'm going to be very blunt with you. Is there only one person? No. No, not the way we are. There are probably thousands and thousands of people out there that you could be with that would be, compatible with your energy, compatible with your karma. That's what I'll say. It will be compatible. Will it be fulfilling? It depends. It depends on how that person takes you, how you take them, how you understand each other, how you don't, what your mission is in your own life, as it were, what you're working on, what you're working towards. It just depends. So I don't know. I don't feel that people understand the nature of relationship. If I really got into this with you, which I won't on the radio, because it's too big a subject and it could be too easily misunderstood what I'd say to you, I could tell you this. There are people in this world who you are supposed to meet for reasons of karma. And then there are people in this world that you are supposed to meet that you're there to help and to bring along. There are people in this world who are here to help you and that you are to meet and are there to help you sustain awakening and a sense of spirituality. There's all sorts of different combinations. I'm not going to say there's just one. There's all sorts of different combinations. And once you understand that and you're aware of that, then everyone who comes into your life is there to serve the highest sense of your own heart. And if you look at it that way and can get beyond the barrier of looks, of appearances, of age, of reputation, whatever, I don't know what people, you know, look at as far as someone who is appeasing to them. Once you get beyond your own need for a person to be a certain way, to sustain your comfort emotionally, you start to realize that people are actually sent to us from our own karma, drawing into our life, drawing into us, and teaching us all sorts of different ways in which we can look at our life. I want to say this to you, Angie, and I hope it helps. I really do. We are surrounded by love. We are enfolded by love. We are love itself. And how we live with all of this love comes in the form of sometimes many different people. And they're there to come into our life to teach us this and this and this and this. And what they are basically teaching us is, I'll keep it in my ballpark because it's easier. Greg, this is what you're dealing with. Greg, this is the dark part of you. Greg, this is the light part of you. Greg, this is the gray part of you. This is the relationship, Greg, you are having with yourself. People come to show us that. They come to show us the relationship we are having with our own self. And once we understand any or all of this, it starts to click inside. The people that are in your life are there as your teacher. They're there to be taught. They're there as a result of the energy you have cultivated through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of lifetimes as you have matured out. So, a soulmate. Why would a soul need a mate? Really? If a soul is a soul, if it's a complete and beautiful entity, which it is, why would it need another soul? This is horse manure. And it brings in girly girls to the work and make them think that they're spiritual. Oh, I found my soulmate. And he is my soulmate. Would your soulmate be a homeless person, a homeless man down, you know, by the, but down by the ocean, living off of dead fish and living out of trash cans? Is that your soulmate? I doubt it. Is your soulmate the guy that has, you know, the $300,000 a year job and drives a Ferrari and, oh, yes, that's my soulmate? Don't do that. Don't come to these conclusions and don't get crazy about this term soulmate. It's a girly term. And what I mean by girly is that women love it. Oh, he's the, It's how you exaggerate and exonerate yourself. And it isn't going to help you and it isn't going to reveal anything of authenticity to you. The people you are with are there via the karma you have created within yourself. They live within your life and your lifetime as a way of the heart. How close are you to your heart? How meaningful is your heart, your spiritual heart? Not your longing, desiring, wanting, you know, physical, throbbing, emotional heart. That's genetics. That's DNA. There is nothing that makes us more lonely than living out of our genetics and our DNA. Nothing makes a person more lonely. because these are not having anything to do with the warmth and the meaning of what it is to find the ultimate love within you, which is found through silence and quiet, deep, profound quiet. I'll give you one little key before I leave you, Angie. If you're looking for something in a man, look for his silences. Look how deeply he lives in silence, or can he live in silence? Recognize the gap and the pause between his words. Feel his essence there. The most profound thing you and I can do in our life is find the meaning of a person through the silence they can bear. And that is how you know. It's the only way to know. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Kathy, and she lives in Kansas. I didn't know anyone lived in Kansas. I didn't know anyone could live in Kansas. I am impressed. Have you ever? I passed through Kansas once to go to seminary. It was a wild affair. That was a wild affair. I'll have to, I won't tell you about it. Okay, so here's my answer. How do I love a man spiritually? It's an interesting question. It's like saying, how do I scratch an itch? How do I comb my hair? How do I brush my teeth? You just do it. It's a natural part of your life. It's a natural part of your essence. We have to be in touch with love itself before you can ever feel any sense of kindness. The greatest and most beautiful attribute for relationship is mercy. Mercy includes so many things, Kathy. That's why Jesus spoke of it in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is combining acceptance, forgiveness, compassion, and love. It is about bringing together the most powerful elements of your existence, your own being, and bringing them to bear fruit in your life by bringing you closer and closer and deeper into the heart of your living. Couples want to keep the zing in their life, their sexual zing. So they try all sorts of different things, and that's legitimate too. And then they try moving and trying to find a better house and a better car, a better whatever. On and on it goes. But the one thing they never try is the obvious that lives within them, that they don't really have to do a lot of work in. It's their heart. It's the love that lives in their heart. It is about compassion and forgiveness. It's about allowing for compassion and forgiveness to have its way. It is about entering into the moment of your life and the moments of your living where goodness and mercy play a huge part in your life. If you follow mercy within you, if you attain to mercy, as Jesus spoke about in the Beatitudes, and you acquire that energy of mercy, you will attract not only a wonderful person, but you will attract a beautiful being in your life, a beautiful essence. You will attract compassion. You will attract forgiveness. Our lives need two things, compassion and forgiveness. And if you are wise and you do all of what I've just said, you will find that your lover is more than a lover. Your lover is a revealer of a great truth that lives within you. You are what you seek. I'm out of here. I hope all of this helped you. Have a beautiful Sunday. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.